those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in the Lord because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, we exhort you, warn those who are lazy, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's word. One of the best parts of the holiday season every year is I get emails with stories. Some are steal your heart, others are just fun kind. It wasn't that many years ago. Church, I don't know if it was you or one of the folks in the church sent me this story at Thanksgiving of the gentleman who had somehow got wandered off in the desert. And he strayed around the desert trying to find his place for about 5 days. And finally, weary, worn, and about to die, he stumbled across a home, which just happened to be the home of a pastor. And as he came up upon his front porch, he collapsed on the porch, and the pastor heard a thud, and so he came out and saw the man and, of course, cared for him and nursed him back to health. And as he was improving mentally, I need to be getting to town. There's business I need to attend to. Can you help me with that? And so he gave him directions, and the pastor said, beyond that, I'll let you borrow my horse. And he said, that would be great. Because we've got to understand something. This is a special horse. It's very, very different. He goes, well, what do you need? So, well, when it was trained by a trainer who was Christian. And so he had different prompts for it. So when he wants the horse to get going, he would say to the horse, thank God. Don't kick it. Don't do anything. Just say thank God and we're gone. Of course, if you want it to stop, just like, you know, when you come to the end of a prayer, you say amen. You come to the end of the ride, just say amen, and it will stop. And the guy says, yeah, whatever. All right. So he gets on the horse, kicks it, nothing happens. The preacher says, oh, he says, oh, yeah. Thank you. And the horse starts to trot. He's not doing too bad. He gets a little further. So then he's going to go a little faster. Thank you. And now he's going faster. He's now out of sight. He starts going, well, thank God. Thank you, God. And off this horse. Now this horse is at a full gallop. But he recognizes that he didn't realize that not far from him is this cliff. And he's coming to the cliff and he's like, stop! Whoa, and he's yanking on the reins. He always says the reins behind his ears, and this horse isn't stopping. It's the full gallop. He goes, the last thing he yells, amen! And the horse comes to a stop just inches from the edge of the cliff. He almost fell over the horse. That's so quick he stopped. And he looks, takes out his handkerchief, he wipes his forehead, and guess what he said? Thank you, God. We can find ourselves with news that we heard, like yesterday, with experiences in our life, whether it's in a job, in a family. Just during this past week, we were praying for Chris out in Ohio, and hearing from Laurie, that again, has been yet another turn. And we have other folks that we've been praying for in our church family. And sometimes the news has been great to see them back, to see them doing well. And other times not so good, just experiences in their life that make it sometimes very difficult to even be thinking of the concept of Thanksgiving and saying, thank you, God. There are times where we look at life and we say, how, you know, the last thing in the world I feel like being is thankful. I feel like I've been dealt a bad hand. Or like, how could I ever have gotten into this situation? What do I have to be thankful for? You know, the psalmist in Psalm 106, and I've given you this verse, he says something very profound for us to begin today with. And this, I just want to take and share a couple thoughts to help, I think, and hope you encourage you in your Thanksgiving and throughout the year. And to begin with, the psalmist had an answer for us. Way back in the Old Testament time, where the psalmist says these words, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. You notice he doesn't say, give thanks to the Lord when you feel good. Did you get that? You read that verse. Doesn't say thanks, give thanks to the Lord when you feel good. He says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God is a good God. He is a loving Father. And it was that basis that would lead the psalmist to offer a prayer and say, Lord, whether my life is always good, I know that you are always good. And that same God that would cause the psalmist to write that would take the Apostle Paul in this letter we read. Very simple verse. He says something which seemingly could be very profound. He says, give thanks in everything. Now, it's important that we get that because the next words that follows, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. People come to me and say, you know, I really want to know God's will for my life. I'm seeking God's will for my life. Some of these secret unknown elements of their life, they're seeking out. And I said, how about the ones that are very obvious that God has made very clear? This is my will for you. Because here's one of them. One of the places that God says that you will please me and part of the will I have for you is that in everything, in every circumstance, to be thankful. Now, it doesn't say for. Two very different prepositions. Got to get that. He says, in every circumstance. We may not be excited about that circumstance. When we have to go through a surgical procedure, whether it's for the heart, whether it's for a knee, whether it's for a hip. Hey, I've never met anyone that had a knee replacement that the day after was going, man, I am so glad I did this. Amen, Jane? Day one after that knee surgery, knee replacement. Oh, I'm so glad I had this done. Now look what I have before me. Weeks of physical therapy. Mike, oh boy, weeks of physical therapy. Can't wait. Give him thanks for that, right?
Only 30 times.
Only 30 times. Oh boy. That, it's not given the four. The in the experience, thank God, because God is good, and there's a point, there's a purpose, there's a plan. Things will be better. Most of the people I know that have had that surgery, a couple months later, are then saying, why didn't I have this years ago? Oh my, I'm expecting Mike's golf score to improve even more. He's going to be hitting 70s before we're done next year, right? See, that's how we have to look at it. God is good, and there are very three important points to know, and I want you to go that you can give thanks to God when you realize some very key things that you can follow and be in God's will that in everything, in every circumstance, you can have a thankful heart to God first to understand and to recognize that I can give thanks to God because God is in control of all the circumstances of my life. There's nothing that happens in your life that God's not going to go, oops, I missed that one. Right. Doesn't happen. Right. God. That's what makes him God. I'll be honest, I scratch my head and say, God, how can you do that? I can't imagine doing that. But I say, of course I can't imagine doing that. I'm not God. But he is. And he's made a promise to us in his word that he is in control of all the circumstances of our lives. I think that there's nothing wrong when you look at the Bible with making plans. In some senses, we're encouraged at one place to make plans, but make plans, but focus on one day at a time. Yeah, you have to know where you're headed. We're headed for heaven, but at the end of the day, I'm really going to be focusing on what God's doing in my world today and making plans, but understanding at the end of those plans, he is still in control. We've obviously talked in the past about that, saying, and I mentioned some of this past week in a text message. Well, you know, when we plan, sometimes God smiles. Oh, yeah. That sounds really good. That's not how it's going to go, but it sounds good. Because I have something better. You notice Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes. Paul said, I have no question, Apostle Paul, I have no question. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Now, I want you to understand something. He makes something very, very clear. He goes that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him. Do you love God through Jesus Christ? If you love God through Jesus Christ, then you need to know something. the good times, the difficult times, God is using them all for your good.
Amen.
You may not see it. You may not understand it. But they are always for your good. Because He knows you love Him. And He loves you even more. And He will cause even what doesn't even make sense to work for good. Things that are inconvenient, uncomfortable, are awful. Back in the 70s, mid-70s, a movie came out called The Hiding Place. I don't know how many of you ever saw that. About the life of Corrie Ten Boom. Everybody here of a woman named Corrie Ten Boom? She was a family who they were Dutch clockmakers and Christians. And back during that time, they believed as Christians that the Jewish people were still God's favorite people, so they needed to care for them in spite of what the Nazis and Hitler were doing. And so they were hiding and caring and feeding and trying to protect them. But ultimately, the Germans discovered them to a neighbor that turned them into the Germans. And her entire family was sent to a prison camp. And the story of the hiding place that she writes about in the book, and it's also in the movie, she tells of an experience where they were at Ravensbrück prison. They were doing Bible studies in their barracks, Barracks 28. It was a very awful place because it had fleas. And they hated these fleas. They were awful. They were just overwhelming. And then one afternoon for Bible study, her sister Betsy, she read this portion of scripture, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And Betsy said, "You know what? We need to give thanks for the fleas." Corrie said, "I am not about to give thanks whatsoever for these fleas. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. I'm not giving thanks to God for these fleas." But the funny thing is they kept holding these Bible studies and more women were coming. But the Germans weren't bothering them for some reason. And finally, Corrie said to someone one day, "I don't understand this. We have more women coming to these Bible studies, but the Germans don't seem to want to stop us or bother us." And the woman said, "Oh, I heard more of talking because there's too many fleas in here. They can't stand the fleas. They don't want any part of being here where there's fleas. So they stay out." And Corrie said, with that, she looked to God and said, "I give thanks to God for the fleas." You see, what seemed as a negative was really a hand of God bringing a blessing so that they could come and worship and be strengthened and encouraging one another. It's what the Proverbs says, where the wisest men to live, Solomon would write these words, "We make our plans, but it's the Lord who ultimately determines our steps." Or we can make plans, but we can thank God that when His steps for us are better, He'll lead us in that place, even if we don't understand the direction or why. And then the second way we can give thanks is when we understand that God loves me and He will always be looking out for what is best for me. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing when Jesus teaches us to pray. He began with these words, "Our Father." That was revolutionary to the religious people of their day. He didn't, "Father." But that's how Jesus said we should see God. Through Him, in our relationship with the Son of God, we are now adopted into the family of Jesus. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you are adopted into the family of Jesus. And therefore, His Father is your Father and my Father. Mm-hmm. And He therefore looks out for us as His very personal family and children. And therefore, just as you who are parents, how many of your parents aren't always looking out for what's best for your kids? Anybody? How about those of you that have grown kids? They're grown. You're still looking out for what's best for them, but now you transferred over. Now you're looking at what's best for the grandkids. That's our Father. Only on steroids. God the Father loves us that way. And because we're going to look out for our kids the best, He's going to do the same for us. Why? Because He loves us. This concept of God sitting there on the throne like Santa Claus, watching who's naughty or nice, and just looking forward to the opportunity to go zap, is so out of the Bible, it's crazy. He loves us as His children, and He always wants what's best for us. The very example of that is that verse, John 3:16. I haven't written, but you can say with me together, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." How much does God love you and me? He loves us so much. There's the Son in heaven sitting on the throne with Him and saying, These people are in a quagmire of sin, and they're never going to get themselves extricated from it. Son, the only way this can happen is I'm going to send you, and you're going to extricate them from it. You're going to pay the penalty. That price that they cannot pay for themselves is going to mean your very life. And Jesus said, I'll do it. And God would send his one and only Son to give his life, that he would die, that you and I would live. That's the kind of love. He would send his Son for people that wouldn't even love him without him actually exerting some influence of the Spirit on our lives. That's how much God loves you and I. And it's that love that drives him to always want to do what is best in our life. And sometimes, and you've heard me say it before, you may want to make note of this, that God is more focused and concerned on our character than he is on our comfort. And those of you that have served in the military know this. What is basic training all about? Anybody here work served in the military? You served in the military. What's basic training? Is that drill sergeant really concerned about your comfort? Nope. Not the slightest. He's concerned about your character and your ability to perform, survive, and serve. That's what that's all about. And ultimately, that's what's best for you and for all that around you. And that's how God our Father is in such an awesome and wonderful way. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is from Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, God says, I know the plans I have. God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Plans to give you a future. Now, when he wrote that verse, when he had Jeremiah write that verse, his people Israel were disobeying him. And so he was going to send them into an exile of captivity for 70 years. Jeremiah is saying this before him. He says, I know the plans I have for you. They're not to harm you. They're to give you hope. Plans to give you a future. But for a time, you're going to struggle because I'm going to allow you to go into a hard time. You know what that hard time's going to do? Because it's going to have you look back to me. It's going to have you learn to rely on me, to love me, to follow me, to remember me as your Father, as the one who loves you more than any. And that's what would happen. And after 70 years, they're trying to go, oh Lord, what did we do? And then that's what drove them back to the Lord and would lead them back from the Babylonian captivity to return home to their hometown of Jerusalem again and rebuild the temple that was destroyed that 7 years before. And the same is true in your life and mine. God will take experiences in our life and sometimes has to use them to lead us, whether job, family, personal, whatever it is, to that place where he wants us to be. I read the story of a Methodist pastor who had the exact same experience that I had this past summer. I was coming back from Sparta, coming down through Oak Ridge, and as I was coming down, I noticed some cars were stopped, others were kind of navigating around this road. And as I came by, as I went to pass, I noticed that walking across this very hot, middle of summer road was this pretty good-sized turtle. But one thing was very clear. It was hot, it wasn't having a good time, it'd go so far and stop. Some people were patient, others were just driving by, and I knew as I was sitting there, it was going to get hit. I couldn't deal with that thought, so I literally pulled my car over so that nobody else could get by. I got the blinkers on, and I went to pick the thing up. It was very clear it wasn't interested in me picking it up.
Yeah.
I wasn't very interested in losing the fingertip. And the woman comes out, and she says, yeah, we got to do something. I said, we can't let this thing. It's either going to die in heat or going to get hit. So I went in my car, took out a 9-iron. I didn't club it. I just kind of gave it a little bit of a nudge in the butt. I just kept nudging it on the butt. And it kept going, what was that? Just on the course, yeah. It was bigger than a ball, so I could really hit it if I wanted. I just kept nudging it on the butt until it got off, and until I got in the grass, it was nice and moist, and it kind of sucked down in a little stream that was beside it. Of course, the people looked like, really? Now, I was thinking, forget that. I could not imagine what that turtle had me thinking. What is this guy doing? I just want to be left alone. This big, nasty creature keeps kicking me in the butt with this stick, and I just want to rest. It's hot, but I don't want to be bothered. What is this problem? And we can have that with God. God, where are you? What are you doing? Why would you do this to me? I don't understand this. This is ridiculous. I mean, just let me alone. Because God is looking out for you in life. Because he knows best, but we don't always know. That's why I can be thankful. I am so thankful to God because I know he is just that good to me. And I'm going to match up with that last thing I can be thankful to God because he's best. The reason I know it's best is because he's wiser. He's wiser than I am. That's the third and last. And that's what we need to trust in. That he's wiser. He's my father. My heavenly father. He gave me an earthly father. It was plain awesome. And there's very little I've done in my life and in my ministry that I haven't sat down at some point and talked to my dad and said, Hey, Dad, what do you think? You've been there. You're wiser than me. I know that. What are your thoughts? But through the years, that same earthly father's taught me then to go to the heavenly father, lean next to him and say, hey, heavenly father, you give me a great earthly father. And he's the wisest man I know. There's only one that's more wise than him. That's you, my heavenly father. Could you give me a little bit of that wisdom? I want to thank you for it. Work in my life, and that's really what we can do when we say he in everything wants us to give thanks because he is in control, he loves me in amazing ways, and he knows what's wisest and best for me, always working out for my eternal good. If you look at that passage of scripture, it says God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. The wisest man in the world compared to God is considered a fool. Or I love Paul in Romans 11:33. It was one of the very first passages that had me memorized in seminary. Yeah. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, how untraceable his ways. He's saying God is so wise, we just don't even get it.
Right.
And that's what we need to trust. That's why we need to trust him. Trust in his promise that he loves us that much. Trust in the teaching. He's just all that wise and good and caring. He just knows how to bring it all together. Greg Rohr is a pastor, one of my favorite pastor preachers at Harvest Christian Fellowship. He does Harvest Crusades in Shea Stadium. I heard him tell the story of how he grew up living with his grandparents for years. And of course, his grandmother he called Mama Stella, and his grandfather he actually called Daddy Charles. And he said she was an amazing cook. He said she could cook fried chicken. Like you can't imagine a woman could fry chicken, but she really could cook. Were biscuits. She would cook these biscuits and you would sit down and there'd be none left when she would come. Because everybody said, man, she's got the biscuits. But I watch her make it. She used vegetable oil, flour, buttermilk, same stuff as everybody else. But my grandma, my mama still had a way of bringing it together in such a way nobody could touch the biscuits. No. Me. That's our God. He can take ordinary elements and circumstances of life and weave them in such a way for our personal lives that no one will ever be able to do but him. No one will ever understand. But as we trust him, that even in the adversity. So the idea that he said was that she'd take all these ingredients, put them together, put them in the oven, and they'd come out nice. And what he's saying is you and I can take the experiences of our life, all these ingredients, and sometimes you're going to go in the oven of adversity of life, but they're going to come out. And God's worked out his plan. And I want to give you hope with that today. I'm going to close with this. Maybe you can identify with some of this. It was kind of like a prayer. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. Thankful for my shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. Thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for the spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government because it means that we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means that I'm alive. I'm thankful for the weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I've been productive. I'm thankful for the lady or man that sits behind me in church who sings off key because it means I can hear. You see, it's all perspective. A newspaper reporter went and decided to survey some masons on a job. He went to the first mason. He said, "How do you like your job?" He said, "I hate my job. It's boring and a waste of time." He goes, "Oh, great." Went around to the other side of the building. He said to another mason, "What do you think of your job?" He said, "I love it. It's the greatest thing in the world." He goes, "I'm responsible for part of laying down a foundation in some of the most beautiful buildings in the city." See, it's all about perspective. And so let me give you this perspective as my nice little Twitter line, if you will, for the week. Thank you, God, as he's asked us to, for everything in my life, the good and the bad. Because some were blessings, and some are lessons. Think about that. Thank you, God, for everything, because some of them are blessings, and some of them are lessons. Let's thank God. Father, thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for all that you are. For the mysteries of life that don't make sense. For the joys that brighten our hearts. You are God in all. You are on the throne in all. As you challenge us to give thanks in everything, it's our way of truthfully, honestly, and demonstratively exercising our faith and our trust in you as our loving Father. We, as your adoring, trusting children. And so help us in this week, but not just this week, throughout the year, throughout our lives, to be finding that in everything. We give thanks because you are faithful and you are loving our Father. We thank you. You've shown it through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. The Holy Spirit, for speaking to us through your word today. Oh, triune one God, we just lift up our hearts of thanksgiving together as a church family and say thank you for all that you are, for all that you do, all that you will be in our lives. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.